Ja, willkommen zurück im CBS-Kanal. Ich mach's ganz kurz. Es geht weiter mit 5 Leuten, die werden über das Thema Mail to Jail reden. Next talk will be in English, so Mail to Jail is the subject of the next talk. And yeah, welcome in the stream.
We can't hear. I can't hear him.
Hi. Mute yourself, as I just said. I'm McFly. As you probably know, this topic is always close to my heart because with Miliways, we always have a stand trying to motivate people to send mail to jail. This doesn't work properly this time with the virtual conference, so we decided to give a talk about this. I have with me Squidget, who will start out doing an introduction, and then Stefan from the Germans, Ryan and Barrett, giving you an idea why it is important to support people that are sitting in jail and why it is so valuable in jail to get all of those mails. With this, we have some slides. That don't work. Do you see my slides? Yes. So, Squidget.
Hello. So this is going to be a real quick talk about sending mail to prisoners. Sending mail to prisoners is one of the easiest and most concrete ways that you can support people who are in prison. One of the biggest reasons that you want to send mail to people in prison is that there's a lot of downtime in prison. Sending mail is one of the ways that you can fill that time in prison. In prison, not forgotten. Studies have actually shown that people who are better connected to those on the outside have a better outcome once they are released. This is a really great way to just keep people connected. It also does a really great job of just letting people know what's going on in the outside world. A lot of times, news is kind of hard to come by when you're in prison. Things like magazines and newspapers and just news in general can sometimes be really hard to come by when you're in prison. So when you write somebody, when you tell them about things that are going on in the outside world, that's really important to them. Sending mail, again, that's one more reason why it's just really important and really good to send mail to prisoners now. Prisons often have really, really niche rules about how you send mail. There are general rules that you do want to follow. The first thing, don't talk about anything illegal. You don't want to say anything that you're not going to say in front of a judge, a jury, police, or prosecutors. Obviously, all mail that is sent to prisons is screened. It's screened in the mailroom before it is given to the prisoner that you are sending it to. So obviously be smart. Don't talk about anything illegal that you do. And in that same vein, some prisoners also have specific topics that they can and can't talk about. Sometimes a prisoner can't talk about things related to their case. They can't talk about things that, if they're a part of a group case, some prisoners can't talk about their co-defendants and things like that. So you really do want to check about what they can and can't talk about, because even if they're not talking about it, if you send something to them that is prohibited, they can get in trouble for it. The other thing that you want to do is, as the slide says, include a return address in the body of your letter, as well as on the envelope. Some prisons will not accept letters if there is not a return address on the envelope itself. But if you want an answer back, you're going to want to include a return address on the letter as well, because sometimes envelopes just don't get to the person you're writing to. So just somewhere on the letter, you're going to want to include your return address. The other thing, don't include anything in your letter unless otherwise directed. That means no blank paper, no stamps, no money of any kind. In a lot of places, especially in the federal system, these are not allowed. There are ways that you can help prisoners obtain these things, mostly by putting money into their commissary account. They do have to buy these things separately at commissary. In some places, you are not, in some places you can include these things, but most places, especially in the federal system, you are not allowed to include these things. They will not reach the prisoner, so don't send them. And finally, you're gonna wanna be very patient when waiting for a return letter. Sometimes mail gets held. Sometimes prisoners just don't have the money to buy things like paper, stamps, pens, envelopes, things like that. They just don't have the resources to buy these things from the commissary. So you're just gonna wanna be patient, and don't get mad if a prisoner doesn't write back. They just might not have the money. So, and then we get more into the little niche rules of writing to a prisoner in the federal system. The federal system started rolling out very, very specific rules of how you can write to a prisoner. And these rules are horrible. They are draconian. And as always, especially in prison, the cruelty is the point. These rules include things like, you are going to want to write on white paper only and send it in a white envelope only. Lined notebook paper is fine, but any colored paper, any off-white paper, that is not allowed. Your letter will be rejected. You're going to want to write in blue or black ink only. Any colored pencils, any markers, any crayons, those are not allowed. They will cause your letter to be rejected. Greeting cards and postcards were previously allowed. They're not anymore. You're not going to want to send them. Do not affix anything to your paper or to the envelopes. That means no stickers, no glitter, nothing. Even a return address label that is a sticker sense of any kind on your paper. That means scented markers, scented pens. Don't spray your letters with perfume. None of that. That will cause your letter to. Jeremy Hammond, somebody who I've done prison support for, somebody actually had very strong scent of spices on their letter because they were using it. They were writing it when they were cooking. That actually caused the letter to be rejected. But sometimes, even if you follow all of the rules, your letter will still be rejected. I included these two tweets because sometimes it just all comes down to who's in the mailroom on a certain day. Jeremy was sent the exact same book at two different prisons. One prison accepted it, one prison rejected it. Why? Who knows? Jeremy has had dozens, if not hundreds, of letters and books rejected for various reasons. As you can see, in 2016, he was allowed to both get and read Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy by Biella Coleman at FCI Manchester, which is a medium security prison. But in 2018, at FCI Milan, which is, curiously enough, a low security prison, that same book was rejected and he was not allowed to receive it. So again, mail restrictions are often capricious and subject to, honestly, who's in the mailroom on any particular day. Again, and some other things that you can do to help prisoners, books, another great way to help them. Oftentimes, books must be sent directly from a publisher or distributor, such as Amazon.com. I know we all hate that, but unfortunately, it is oftentimes the only way that books are allowed to be sent. Sending money to a prisoner allows them to purchase things like pen, paper, stamps, so that they can write back to you, but it also allows them to purchase phone time, purchase computer time, so they can, again, another way that they can keep in touch with friends and loved ones. Putting money on a prisoner's books in the federal system, easiest way, using Western Union. If they're in the state system, there are so many ways that different state or county prisons put money on prisoners' books. You're honestly, if someone's in the state system, you're just going to have to look up how their particular prison does it, because there are just so many ways. JPay is a big one. It's honestly just down to what prison a particular person is in. So that is a quick rundown of how to write a prisoner.
Okay, next we have, thank you. Next we have Steffen, who will do this in German, and I guess the translation team will have to swap this around in the article, in the final download. So Steffen, you've been in, du bist 1988, hast du für 68 Tage quasi für den CCC im Knast gesessen.
Ja, ich war eingeladen zu einer Sicherheitskonferenz als Öffnungsredner und wurde dann gleich am Flughafen wegverhaftet und dann nach zwei Tagen in diesen typischen französischen gläsernen Polizeizellen haben die mich dann erstmal für 68 Tage weggepackt. Ja, also aus meiner Erfahrung, Knastpost äußerst wichtig. Ich hatte den riesigen Vorteil, dass ich halt einer der ersten war in Europa, die wegen Hacker-Geschichten weggesperrt wurden und auch ein großes Medienecho, und dementsprechend habe ich also dreimal am Tag Post bekommen in Frankreich. Morgens kamen halt die Zeitungen an. Das Tollste war einmal ein Päckchen vom Playboy selber mit einem ganzen Haufen Playboy-Magazine drin, die ich dann natürlich im ganzen Trakt verteilen konnte. Überhaupt alles an Zeitungen konnte ich verteilen, und das hat mir das Leben sehr erleichtert, weil ja niemand legt sich mit jemandem an, der den halben Trakt halt mit Zeitungen versorgt. Aber das für mich Wichtigste waren Briefe von Leuten, die selber schon mal im Knast waren oder eine ähnliche Erfahrung gemacht haben. Weil da merkt man halt, dass es auch draußen Leute gibt, die das verstehen. Viele reagieren halt hektisch und panisch, wenn dann jemand mal weggesperrt wird, und im Knast läuft die Zeit halt anders. Du rechnest nicht in Stunden und Minuten, sondern eher in Tagen, Wochen und Monaten. Es ist also so eine Entschleunigung dabei. Und dadurch gibt es natürlich auch Missverständnisse, die sich so mit der Zeit aufbauen. Hat bei mir dann 6 Monate nach der Knastzeit gedauert, bis ich dann auch wieder mich geerdet hatte sozusagen. Aber die Post hat mir sehr viel geholfen. Ich habe auch all diese ganzen Briefe noch, die ich damals gekriegt habe. Es ist also so ein dicker Stapel. Ich habe den nur in meinem Archiv jetzt nicht gefunden. Aber es hat mir sehr geholfen und selbst wenn das 33 Jahre her ist, an dieser Stelle doch mal ein Dank an alle, die damals mir was geschickt haben.
Dankeschön, Steffen. And for the last two, we'll switch back to English, unless Ipunk has a question there, then please just jump in. Okay, then the system is kind of annoying. Barrett is doing the next stop while I'm trying to get back to the system and move the slides to the next side. So, yeah, there it goes.
Hello, thank you for having me. So I did 4 years in the feds from 2012 to 2016. It's involved in some anonymous goings on back in the day. So obviously, you know, as I think has been noted already, state and federal prisons in the U.S. differ in terms of their rules. State prisons differ among themselves. New York State, California State, Texas State, they'll have individual rules, regulations for all this stuff. And as has already been alluded to, these rules and regulations are often moot. What it comes down to is the whim of those who are placed in charge. This is true in most facets of American life. It's particularly true in the prison systems. Someone such as Squiggle here, a support contact, is a fine thing for a prisoner to have for a number of reasons, but especially when it comes to doing communications, initiating communications with a prisoner. A person like that can you know, be in charge of letting people know what the regulations are, where they've moved to, and sort of facilitating all of the different difficulties and barriers that can arise when dealing with the prison system. And they can also, you know, be warned or make people aware of particular circumstances that might need to be considered when writing to a particular prisoner at a particular time. These go beyond summary. It's hard to summarize what these issues are. There's just so many of them, and they can change. And so that's always an important thing to have. I'm actually... if you are writing to prisoners, there are aspects of that kind of activity that I feel can be thought of more, that can be refined and enhanced in order to achieve more of the end results at the same time as achieving the basic end of supporting that prisoner in a way. And I'll go into that in a bit. But to the extent you are simply writing to a prisoner, that is your goal. There are a number of ways that this does help, aside from simply giving the prisoner, you know, a morale boost. Prisoners who receive regular mail, they gain respect among other prisoners, and that can be more useful in some circumstances than others. It can help them to establish authority. It can help to give the sense to the staff, administration, and guards that this prisoner has people on the outside that are watching the prisoner's back, and that can have a great effect in terms of preventing staff from engaging in too much due process violations or abuse. So that's very helpful. And also, to the extent the prisoner is intent on or might choose to later on continue their activism within prison, having the respect of other inmates that prompts inmates to come to them with their problems, make them aware of issues in the prison they may not be aware of otherwise, and it helps to establish trust and soft power in a situation which soft power is vastly useful, not just for the prisoner but for the prison itself that may need the prisoner's aid. Some of the letters that prisoners get are done in these events held by things like the Anarchist Black Cross and so forth, where they have meetings. Events like once a month to write to prisoners. There's been mixed results from those. Some meetings produce basically letters where it's just all the kind of the same, like, hi, I'm writing to you because I'm at a meeting. I hope everything's well in there, blah, blah. It's all well and good. But those meetings, in my view, they should involve more guidance as to particular contents, you know, of the letter they're writing anyway, that should go to the prisoner. Things like information, as has already been spoken about on events. There is a particular special case of that kind of thing, of getting, letting them know what's in the outside, what's going on in the outside world, that should be attended to. That is providing tips on potential problems, just the things of note that the prisoner may need to be aware of, especially before trial or sentencing. There is, you know, in some of these cases like mine, there can be a complicated backstory that the prisoner may have very little access to in terms of FBI informants, what's known about them, in terms of, like, you know, things that are put out on Twitter and so forth after the arrest, that may be useful for the prisoner to know, and that a lawyer, for instance, may not recognize as useful, you know, being not conversant with the circumstances. And so, to give you examples of that, there were people who were trying to get involved in my legal defense, on my legal defense network and the activism surrounding that while I was in prison, that I didn't, you know, had no way of knowing about. One of those people was Cassandra Fairbanks, and I was alerted to this by a volunteer of mine from the past who made me aware of who this person was and why the support network should be warned about her. And later on, she went on to work with the Trump people and so forth, and has caused a lot of damage in the community at large. Those are the kind of things that a prisoner, you know, oftentimes, even if they have a support person, that support person may not be privy to these things. And so that is an example of a very useful, impactful thing that you can do when writing your prisoners. Make them aware of those things that there's a chance they're not already aware of and that they should be aware of. There is, as has also been mentioned, in the federal system and increasingly in other systems, I think state systems as well in the U.S., there's an email system, an ersatz email system. It's very hedged in. It's very kind of AOL-ish in terms of it's not actually email. It's very much presided over by a structure that the BOP, Bureau of Prisons, runs. That is a great alternative in some cases to letters. Now, you don't get the same impact of that prisoner getting all this mail all the time with that. You don't have that visible, like, here's your mound of mail, important prisoner kind of thing that I talked about earlier. But under some circumstances, that can be a more viable method of communicating. Again, depending very much on the individual particulars of the case and so forth. But obviously, and when it comes to a correspondence, when there's for some reason a prisoner has identified you as someone who they want to hear more from, and be able to ask questions of, getting an email set up at their invitation is a great way to go about things. Likewise, phones. As mentioned, you can put money on prisoners' phones. You can put them on the books directly on their accounts at prison. If you write a letter to a prisoner, it might be a good idea, if you'd like, to put your phone number at the end and tell them you're putting $5 or something on their prison account, so that if they wish to, they can call you back easily. If not, they can buy some coffee. Just depends on how entertaining your letter is, I suppose.
All right. I want to cut you short, but we also need to give Ryan some time, and we have 4 minutes left.
Okay. Send books as needed, find out the rules, and et cetera. Magazines are great. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm trying to make the slide again.
Yeah, I'm Jeremy Ryan. I have done 19 of the past 25 months in county jails. Well, minus 1 week at MCC Chicago, where I got sang to by R. Kelly at night. But outside of that, it's been for political activism. It's mainly been in county jails. And county jails are significantly worse than prisons, state prisons or federal prisons. That's part of how the American justice system ropes you in. They put you in this horrible environment when you're legally considered innocent. And they put you in this horrible environment to try to get you to cave. In my federal case, they were trying to get me to cave to a nuclear terrorism charge. I became the first person to be charged federally under 2332I, acts of nuclear terrorism. And 6 months into the 16 months, they offered me time served. And they said, just take the terrorism charge, we'll let you out. And I did every day of the next 10 months, not being able to get out. They also have horrible medical care. So if people with medical issues need people on the outside able to convey that. There was one time when I had I was taking out my contact because they don't give you enough contact lens solution. So I wore them a little bit too aggressively. I was taking it out and lacerated my eye. It took them 18 hours to get me to a hospital as my eye is like bleeding. And it was only because I had people on the outside calling 911 locally and saying that I was needed, you know, medical attention was needed. And obviously they wouldn't go, but it was clogging up the 911 center. But it also just means a lot to get mail. It means a lot for a wide variety of reasons. But a lot of activists, they don't get a whole lot of mail. And so it tends to make them sometimes think, you know, if they don't get the national stories, then people don't really write. And so sometimes they think people don't really have their back. And so it can really help to have people say, you know, yeah, you know, we know about you. We support you. And outside of that, you know, just money on books, there's particularly in jails, there's these systems like Getting Out, where you can send messages to people in all sorts of jails across the country. Some of them, like the guy in Dane County that I had posted, who's currently, he's being accused of firebombing the police station downtown. But he is in jail, and they have a little messaging system called Getting Out, where you can send kind of like instant messages with the inmates. So there's all sorts of ways in all sorts of different places. But regardless, U.S. jails in particular are horribly shitty. And there's literally nothing to do all day except maybe read a book from the book cart that's been there the whole 6 months, or watch whatever someone else is watching on TV. Outside of that, there's not really a whole lot. So, you know, even just a small thing like a letter helps to break the monotony. And show that you have support. I can't talk too much about prisons because, like I said, I only spent 1 week at MCC Chicago on the Fed case thing. But I was on floor 16, which at the time was the same floor as R. Kelly, and they were making us sing everybody to sleep. It was kind of funny. But either way, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing this, because I know it's going to make a big difference to a lot of people. And that's really what we need. We need people to continue the fight. We need people, once they get out of jail, to be motivated to get into our prison, to be motivated to continue fighting. Because not everybody is going to necessarily have the same level of resilience as someone like, say, myself or Barrett, or the other gentleman there. And sometimes just support will make the difference on whether they'll have that resilience or not.
Okay. Thank you all three, or all four. I'd like to point out that the Milliways Wiki, and we'll try to attach this link to the talk in some way. The Milliways Wiki, we have stories, addresses, and detailed information for people that are sitting in jail at the moment, which include people like, which includes people like Reality Winner, like Julian Assange, and some others that it's important to send mail to. So and thank you for the CBase, for Tseben and Dipang, for giving us the opportunity to do this here.
Thank you, McFly. Thanks to the hi to the Milliways, and to all the people out there, write some letters to jail. Okay, we stop this here now, and the next talk up will be in just 4.5 minutes. See you then.